God's providence manifest in Artaxerxes' decree. In this decree by Artaxerxes, God's providence was manifest. Some discerned this and gladly took advantage of the privilege of returning under circumstances so favorable. A general place of meeting was named, and at the appointed time those going to Jerusalem assembled for the long journey. But the number who responded was disappointingly small. Many who had acquired houses and lands were satisfied to remain. Their example proved a hindrance to others who might have chosen to advance by faith. As Ezra looked over the company assembled, he was surprised to find none of the sons of Levi, the tribe set apart for the service of the temple. The Levites should have been the first to respond. During the captivity, they had enjoyed liberty to minister to their brethren in exile. Synagogues had been built, the priests conducted the worship of God and instructed the people. Observance of the Sabbath had been freely allowed. But after the close of the captivity, conditions changed. The temple at Jerusalem had been rebuilt and dedicated, and more priests were needed as teachers of the people. Besides, the Jews in Babylon were in danger of having their religious liberty restricted. During the troublous times of Esther and Mordecai, the Jews in Medo-Persia had been plainly warned to return to their own land. It was perilous for them to dwell longer in the midst of heathen influences. In view of these changed conditions, the priests in Babylon should have been quick to discern in the decree a special call to return to Jerusalem. The king and his princes had provided abundant means, but where were the sons of Levi? A decision to accompany their brethren would have led others to follow their example. Their strange indifference is a sad revelation of the attitude of the Israelites in Babylon toward God's purpose for his people. Once more Ezra sent the Levites an urgent invitation to unite with his company. Trusted messengers hastened with the plea, "Bring unto us ministers for the house of our God." Some who had been halting decided to return. In all, about 40 priests and 220 ministers, teachers, and helpers were brought to the camp. All were now ready. Before them was a journey of several months. The men were taking their wives and children, their substance, and treasure for the temple. Enemies lay in wait, ready to plunder and destroy Ezra and his company, yet he had asked from the king no armed force for protection. "I was ashamed," he explained, "to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king, 'The hand of our God is for good upon all that seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all that forsake him.'" RSV. They therefore determined to put their trust wholly in God. They would ask for no soldiers. They would not arouse in the minds of their heathen friends one doubt as to the sincerity of their dependence on God. Strength would be gained not through the power of men, but through the favor of God. Only by striving to obey the law of the Lord would they be protected. This knowledge lent solemnity to the consecration service held by Ezra and his company just before their departure. "I proclaimed a fast there, at the river of Ahava," Ezra declared, "that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us."